With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. The federally funded Indian Health Service is continuing operations despite the government shutdown. IHS received funding for fiscal year 2026 in advance through the congressional appropriations process. This is the first time IHS has been funded in advance during a government shutdown, according to a release from the nonprofit National Indian Health Board. That advanced funding is allowing most clinical services to continue without interruption. IHS is under the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The federal agency's website says the advanced funding will support services by the Indian Health Service, tribal health programs, and urban Indian organizations. IHS is not expected to see any furloughs. The shutdown will continue until Congress reaches a funding agreement. The first government shutdown in 7 years has begun, and now lawmakers, business owners, and economists are beginning to untangle the repercussions. SDPB's CJ Keene checks in on expectations for the local economy.
Creighton University economics professor Ernie Goss compiles a monthly index of the Midwestern economy that includes the Dakotas. He says the economy isn't moving forward or backward in a meaningful way.
What we're seeing basically in the manufacturing economy, and that's true in South Dakota as the rest of the region, things are just slow. I mean, and to bounce like a stone bouncing across a lake, it's in and out. We're not seeing any fast growth, but we're not seeing any real negative growth just yet.
While confident the economy will recover from the shutdown in the long term, Goss expects repercussions in the region the longer the shutdown lasts.
We'll also see some impacts in terms of trade. In other words, there's where the federal government's obviously deeply involved in trade. So you could see some of those shipments into and out of the U.S. being slowed because of the shutdown.
Goss adds permanent job losses should be minimal. Instead, moving into the last quarter of the year, he's watching the bond market.
10-year Treasury yield, or the interest rate on the 10-year Treasury, is now at 4.15. If that should move below 4%, that would give me concerns about the short term, meaning the economy is slowing down more than we're expecting. If it moves above 5%, that gives me concern about the long-term and inflationary pressures.
Goss also predicts inflation continues to be a thorn in the side of businesses and consumers alike. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Of the many governmental departments touched by the shutdown, the VA is continuing some services while suspending others. Primarily, healthcare services will continue through the shutdown. Benefits will continue to be processed, and VA national cemeteries will continue burials. The Veteran-Specific Crisis Line will also continue to function at 988. On the other hand, the GI Bill Hotline, regional benefit offices, and veteran career counseling and transition services are suspended until further notice. Like many areas across America, South Dakota needs nurses. With a well-documented shortage in the field, university leaders are trying to assess what the state can do to help fill that gap. SDPB's CJ Keene checks in on the latest project.
South Dakota State and Black Hills State Universities are teaming up to create a new nursing education space at the Rapid City BHSU campus. The space includes new classrooms, labs, and simulation programs. During a ribbon cutting on Tuesday, Board of Regents President Tim Rave says there's no silver bullet to the nursing shortage, but there are steps the area can take.
We know the demand for nurses, allied health professionals, and other providers is constantly growing and is not going away. Meeting that demand requires innovative partnerships.
Black Hills State University Provost Pam Caravu says the two universities will create better healthcare providers while working together.
This collaboration allows us to share resources, expertise, and innovative practices so that students benefit from the strengths of both institutions. Most importantly, it reflects our shared commitment to placing students at the center of everything we do.
Monument Health leaders add the new facility will address the local need for healthcare workers on the western side of the state. Over 70 students will have access to the Rapid City resources per semester. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
While the state legislature and the governor's office have agreed to build a prison, many contend the job's not finished. Conversations about rehabilitation inside the prison walls are now coming into focus. As SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports, Sioux Falls and Minnehaha County leaders are starting the discussion.
And they are moving forward with building a replacement for the dungeon-like overcrowded hill and also to deal with the overcrowding situation throughout the penitentiary system.
That's Mike Milstead, the Minnehaha County Sheriff. He says, with the $650 million vote in the rearview mirror, it's time to look ahead to Governor Larry Rodin's Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force.
Chronic repeat offenders continue to plague us. Almost half of my jail population today are people who re-victimized people in our society while they were on probation or parole. It continues to be that revolving door, and so it comes at a great expense.
Milstead says, while on probation, individuals are the responsibility of the State Department of Corrections. However, when they commit a new crime outside the penitentiary walls, the responsibility and cost lands with the county.
We're picking up the bill on 80 individuals today, parolees who have re-victimized people out in our community.
Milstead says that's an even bigger reason why the state needs the Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force. He adds they have a lot of work ahead.
Trying to make sure that they establish better programming in the prison, better reentry services, better case management, fix a broken parole system, and also provide job skills training so when these individuals come out of the prison, which they will, and oftentimes into Sioux Falls, that they have the skills and the training and the necessary connections to do better, to not be repeat offenders, to not be filling the county jail, and not re-victimizing our citizens.
The task force will explore 5 directives, evaluate programming and treatment needs for the inmate population in the new facility, and identify opportunities for expansion, find out the needs of Native American-focused programming and faith-based programming, study reentry models and best practices, and to ultimately make legislation recommendations. Governor Larry Rodin hasn't named specific individuals on the task force, but the membership makeup is public and can be found on sdpb.org/news. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Secretary of State Monet Johnson is announcing a new award for 2 South Dakotans who are, quote, young leaders who are making a difference in the community. The John Lewis Youth Leadership Award was first established in 2021 by the National Association of Secretaries of State to honor the late congressman. Lewis was the youngest speaker at the 1963 March on Washington, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. Lewis was one of the Big 6 to help organize the march during the Civil Rights Movement. He later served in the U.S. House for 33 years. The Secretary of State's office is accepting nominations for the award. Recipients must be 25 years or younger at the time of the award presentation. For nomination instructions, visit sdpb.org/news. This week's Morning in Play brings a preview of an upcoming Tales from the Gridiron special on South Dakota high school football. SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera talk about their recent visits to Wall and Lakota Tech.
And welcome to another Your Morning in Play here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. We both were out in Rapid here this past week to take in the 60th Buffalo Roundup event that was at Custer State Park, which I think both of you and I agree, you know, it was cool to see the sunrise at Custer State Park. Yeah. And take in that event. That was a lot of fun. But before Buffalo Roundup, on that Wednesday before, you and I, we both took trips in different directions to go talk to some football coaches.
Get some features.
You went to Wall, right? And it was homecoming week for them. And so you kind of knew going into it, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of excitement around town. Number one, they're a really good football team, and it's homecoming. What was your experience in Wall like? And then obviously you went back too on Friday night to experience the game.
You know, small town football kind of all has the same story, but everything's unique as well. And the same story is the community rallies around the team. Friday nights are special, but every community has a little bit different tradition. And it was interesting. I was talking to Lex Heathershaw, the head coach of Wall, and asked him if you have any rituals or traditions that you go through every week. And he's like, no, not really. But then as I spent the entire day with him, he's like, oh, yeah, we do this every week. When we break it down, we always break it down over the W of Wall, not the L, because we're looking for a win. We always gather on the eagle in the middle of the field and do this. And, you know, I always wear these shorts every week. So that's the kind of stuff this story is about. It's just the game day experience that you get with these coaches and players. Got to do a behind-the-scenes locker room speech with them. So that's all the kind of stuff that we'll be talking about in Wall.
Awesome.
And then you got to go to Lakota Tech, a team that's trying to build something, and they've got the right guy to build, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, when a lot of people think Lakota Tech football, they just look at the scoreboard every week and they try to draw their conclusions from that. But I think when you dig deeper, you know, they just hired a new guy this year by the name of Eric Swiftwater. He came to, you know, he grew up in the Pine Ridge Reservation, ended up going to school in Ulrichs. Ulrichs at that time then co-opted with Hot Springs, so he got an opportunity to experience, you know, high school football, you know, a little bit more on that Hot Springs side of things, which Hot Springs, you know, they've had some pretty good teams over the years. And then Eric Swiftwater had the opportunity to go to college at Black Hills State. COVID hit after his college career got done, so NFL Combine, stuff like that, was turned, like, virtual. It was that
for him even to be thinking about NFL Combine stuff, it tells you what level he's at.
Right, and then he went to the Indoor Football League for a few years and did that whole thing. And then once he had kids, he's like, okay, I need to probably think about my family now, and I'm going to be done playing football. And then all of a sudden that one door closes and the other door opens, which is being a football coach. So now he's, you know, he's a first year head coach. He spent a couple years working with the team up in Wessington Springs, doing some things there on the offensive side of the ball. So it was really kind of fun just to be there for a practice, spend an afternoon. I got to be in his classroom, you know, that kind of thing too, and just kind of see him working with kids, not even just on the field, but in that classroom setting too. Gorgeous school at Lakota Tech. It's a brand new school, and the football field is gorgeous as well. So I think he's doing an exceptional job. He's excited about the offseason. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to Lakota Tech than just looking at the box score and saying, oh, they lost this week. Because they're trying to build something now the right way, where you work with strength and conditioning in the off seasons as well. And I think Eric Swiftwater's the guy for that.
Well, you have to build the foundation, and that takes somebody who's invested in a lot of work. So that's what I'm looking forward to watching in this feature, is seeing how he is going to tackle that big task on. And this all came up quickly for him, too.
Like, it did.
You know, a couple months ago, he didn't even know he was going to be at Lakota Tech.
Right, exactly. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes conversations, and then all of a sudden the decision was just kind of made, I'm going to go there, and I'm doing this, I'm all in. And, yeah, everybody, administration and to the players will tell you, like, we have this guy's back. So it's exciting to see. But, yeah, both the story that you're doing from Wall, story I'm doing from Lakota Tech, both of those will be airing on television on October 30th. It's a Thursday, so a couple weeks before the state football championships, as part of our Tales from the Gridiron Show. Well, we look forward to telling more stories, and we'll see you next week here with your Morning in Play. He's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck, right here on SDPB.
I'm SDPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out SDPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.